This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
If Minnesota wins tonight, then the Warriors control their own destiny again, right? However... Memphis has got the better shot to lose a different game the rest of the year. Like, once Minnesota's done tonight, that's a wrap on losses. They've got easy street the rest of the way after tonight. Minnesota. Okay? Home games to Brooklyn and Utah. WW for that for them. So I'm trying to figure out if there's a way to even, like, is there a way that the Warriors go 1-1 and still end up the sixth?
Yes, but you would need Memphis to lose twice.
Which is completely possible, plausible.
And you'd have to have Minnesota lose once. Yes.
Which is what he's advocating tonight.
So you're rooting for, you're thinking maybe root for Memphis tonight. Then if the Warriors lose to the Clippers, Memphis would have to lose to Denver and Dallas.
And Dallas.
They'd have to. Which otherwise, is not, you're the seven or the eight.
It's not likely. That's a home game against Dallas this Sunday. It's not likely, but it's more plausible than Minnesota losing one of their other games. So put it this way. I'm going to pull for Minnesota, but not with all of my might. Do you know what I mean? Like, there is a different... I mean, the best scenario is just win your next two games, and I actually still think they will be fine if they do that. But Sunday's going to be hard. Sunday's going to be real hard.
Yeah.
And I think it's most likely that the Clippers will have something to play for Sunday, no matter what happens.
Yeah, what's their scenario?
Denver wins the tiebreaker over the Clippers. So even if the Clippers are the four and a game up on Denver on Sunday, the Clippers will have to at least go for it.
Right.
Because if they lose and Denver wins Sunday and they finish with the same record, the Clippers will lose that tiebreaker. And there could also be some jockeying between five and six potentially. So right. I think regardless of how it plays out, very likely they'll have at least something to play for.
Right. Because Denver's last two games, by the way, are Memphis and Houston, both difficult games, but Houston might be resting everybody on Sunday.
Just like they did yesterday.
Yeah, just like they did yesterday. So, okay, there's still a lot of moving and shaking to go on. But I guess I'll buy that the path of least resistance for the Warriors is for Minnesota to beat Memphis tonight. Then you go win tomorrow night in Portland, and you have an opportunity to take the court on Sunday against the Clippers. And, yes, things could turn your way, but at a minimum, if you win that game, you're in.
Right. If Memphis loses and you win both, you're the six. That, to me, feels like the most direct path to do it.
Yes.
So if Memphis loses, then you regain control of your own destiny. And I know it's not easy because the Clippers, Grandy's right, they might be playing for the three, depending on what the Lakers do, likely the four or the five, unless the Clippers happen to have a hiccup in their next game. But if Memphis loses, then last night becomes less of a disaster for you because then you, again, control your own destiny.
And Minnesota is a slight favorite tonight in Memphis. I think a 2-point favorite tonight.
And that game tips at
6:30.
Okay.
National TNT.
Exciting. Let's go.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a good one.
So with no Warriors and no Giants tonight, there's your nachos game. 6:30 tonight, Minnesota. Memphis, enjoy. Speaking of enjoy, maybe it's because we've been barking about it so much. The Super Chat is active right now.
A lot of Super Chats.
95.7 The Game has found an alternate source of income, and it's called Super Chat. First of all, let me start with the smaller one. Alan Day threw $4.99 at this idea. Kerr has been so terrible, I started watching, I don't know why in the Super Chat you need the, like, if you're going to Super Chat, don't abbreviate it. Just write it out. You know what that is, by the way.
It's an abbreviation sensation is what it is.
I started watching W. Lotus also to see what I've been missing. And I've not watched one episode of White Lotus, but I gather that the first season's wonderful and season three is disappointing. Is that accurate?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I mean...
But isn't that what you think, Randy?
Season two is the best, in my opinion.
Okay.
Season three is the worst of the three, in my
opinion. All right. There you have it.
He's eating.
And he's eating. And Steiny, right. I think also... Steiny agreed. Season three disappointing. Guru, excited about season one, hasn't gotten beyond that yet.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I thought season three was good.
Okay.
It wasn't as good as one or two, but it still was watchable. And
where is it? What app?
This one was Thailand. Oh, it's on HBO Max. Is that right?
Yeah, Max.
Well, where is it?
Is Thailand like, next to Hulu on my TV?
When you ask
season
Thailand,
one Hawaii,
when you
season
ask
two
where is it,
okay.
Then to me, you're asking where is it set? Because the whole idea of the
where
show.
Where do I find it?
The whole idea of the show is it's set in an exotic location. And I guess I shouldn't expect you to know that. Because you have no clue about shows.
Yeah, all I know is it's White and it's Lotus. I don't know.
Well,
like
the whole thing about the show is that it is cinematically beautiful.
Okay.
It's set in a resort. Grandy's right. The first one, Hawaii. The second one, the Amalfi Coast. And then this one is Thailand. And part of the appeal of the show is that the locations are spectacular and exotic. So when you say, where is it? Gesundheit, I do think it's fair to wonder if you're asking where the actual location is. Also from Alan Day, and there's one more super chat
Wu-Tang.
Alan Day, $1.99, players will never get tired of blowing past pods.
Okay.
And so, yeah, you're right, Alan.
Yeah,
that was a big part of last night.
Not a great defender.
No. Nope.
Yeah, that's, okay, Wu-Tang, $10.
Mm.
Woo. What? Wu-Tang. All right. What would the path to the playoffs be, Willard? What's your ideal matchup for the Warriors? This one has become difficult, to be honest with you, because first off, I'm going to stand by a couple of statements. Starting with what I said yesterday, I'm actually not really concerned about any opponent. Doesn't mean that the Warriors will beat anybody. That's not what I mean by that. It means I think they've got a plenty of a shot to beat anybody. There's no opponent that I think is preventative in the Western Conference. I put the Warriors right next to all of them. But I don't want to see the Warriors play the Lakers in round one because I just think it's too much too soon. It's too early. That's the main course. And I don't want to start with that. I'm not one of these weirdos that'll eat a steak and be like, then I have the salad. No, salad's got to come first. Then we do the steak and the potatoes, and then you have your ice cream afterwards. I like things in order that way with my meals. And I don't want to do Lakers and Warriors first. But you're never going to hear me say Houston is the ideal matchup because that means you got to go to the play-in tournament, and I don't want to do that. So I don't know that the three has been, it's not locked up, but the Lakers certainly took a big step toward it last night. I don't want to play the Lakers in round one, but I'd rather do that than go to the play-in tournament. Let's just say it that way.
Yeah, agreed. And I do think that what you've talked about with an older team, and obviously they're already so tuckered out that they can't close out a game against San Antonio. So if you have to play a Tuesday play-in and you lose, and then you have to play a Friday play-in just to get the eight, and then you turn around 2 days later on the road at Oklahoma City, it doesn't bode well for the Warriors. Although I did look up the history of the Warriors since Steph has been here in the playoffs when they lost game one. 7 times they've lost game one in a series, and they are 4-3 in those series. So it doesn't necessarily mean you lose. You did drop game one to the Lakers last time out. You lost. You did drop game one to Toronto in the NBA Finals, and you lost.
And
that was a little bit of a different vibe.
No doubt.
Because you lost two of your top four players, but It doesn't necessarily mean when you lose game one, you lose.
Right, but I also think game one losses are not all built the same. And I look, if they've got to do the play-in tournament next week, play on Friday, end up in Oklahoma City on a Sunday, I just think the series is going to get set on its ear. I do not think that is a recipe with which the Warriors can succeed. That's my opinion.
Agreed. And historically, I'm just looking at the numbers, teams that win game one of a best of seven, 78% winning the series.
And this particular one would also, the one we're talking about, the scenario that has them in Oklahoma City, we're talking about an historic team statistically.
Oh,
I just don't like, that's not, they can't do that. And that's why what I said earlier, last night does not concern me at all in the view from 10,000 feet. I don't think this is like evidence that the Warriors suck all of a sudden. I think that would be an odd thing to say after what we've watched them do over the last week and a half. What I do think is they welcomed the nightmare into the room. They haven't fallen asleep and had the nightmare yet, but they've welcomed it into the room. And so now scenarios exist where, A, you end up in the play-in tournament, and once you end up in the play-in tournament, I would put literally all my chips into next Tuesday. Because as I said, I don't think going to Friday is a scenario that works for the Warriors. That means Tuesday, in my way of thinking, becomes a must win and almost like an elimination game, which is a terrible place to be for a basketball team, especially after everything we've talked about and watched with this particular team. They've got to either get a top six seed or navigate next Tuesday correctly. And that's super nerve-wracking.
Yeah, you look
that's
at
that's very nerve-wracking.
If you're the seven and you face Minnesota at home, that's going to be a tough game. Minnesota's
really
a team that has been, you know, very difficult for you and for everybody. And if you happen to come up empty on that one, well, then you get another home game against either Dallas or Sacramento. And then you have a two-day turnaround to get to OKC and play a team that might win 68 games. That's going to be real tough.
I mean, I'll take that over not. You know what I mean? Like,
I do think
the Warriors are going to the playoffs this year, but I don't think that all playoff trips are the same. And that one feels clearly disadvantageous to the Warriors if that's the way they were to get in.
Which makes last night even more painful when you think about it. And, you know, we can debate fatigue or not fatigue. Bottom line is you had two different leads that were sizable, leads that can be stretched into an Ottoman game where you put your feet up and you put the pillow behind your head and you go night-night, but you didn't get there. And as a result, you got beat on a buzzer beater by a former teammate, Harrison Barnes, and your former teammate, Chris Paul, is over there in his warm-up outfit, barking orders and directing traffic. And so the loss was bad. The guy who beat you was bad. The cheerleader on the sideline was even worse.
I think he was actually yelling for a foul. I don't think he was barking orders.
Whatever he was doing.
Yeah, because Butler was all over Harrison Barnes prior to the ball being inbounded.
Right.
Paul was calling for a foul, which is like, dude, you're not getting that call.
No, you know
better than that.
And honestly, Jimmy Butler in the challenge of the three, that was a great challenge.
Yeah.
He was up.
No, he was
there.
He was in his jersey.
He didn't foul.
Nope.
He was all over it. And, I mean, tip of the cap to HB for knocking it down.
Made a great shot.
Doesn't mean I'm happy about the loss, but of anybody to do that, Harrison Barnes, okay.
Yeah, I don't
Good
mind.
For you, Harrison.
I love Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
Hate the outcome. Christian in Fairfield. Hi, Christian. Thanks for calling Willie and Dibby.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
We're good, man. What's up?
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
I don't know how you guys do it. I know you get, I'm going to pocket watch you guys right now like everyone else likes to do the NBA players. I know you get paid, but I don't know how you deal with these emotional Warriors fans. They were doing it on Steiny and Guru. Now they're doing it to you guys. Kerr's this. They're still a championship team. Last night was embarrassing. If it was a college team, they should have practiced after last night. It was a lack of leadership, in my opinion, at the end of the game by the Steph Curry and Draymond Green, more than fatigue. They know better than that. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, nothing changed except for the road to the championship got harder because they want to play games and play around and not come with their A game. But it's not the others' fault. You can't blame the young players for dumb trucking. Pods was sooner or later going to have a bad game. He's shooting 50%. He's not going to do that. That's the law of averages. That's basketball. He's going to have a bad game. It was bad that they all had a bad game at the same time. But that's, to me, I thought we'd be talking about playoff Jimmy because he started taking over at the end. And then when Draymond did the bonehead play, he looked at him like, come on, dude. And then Steph did it, and then that's that. So to me, it's more lack of leadership. They played down to the level of their competition instead of, you know what I'm saying, taking San Antonio more serious for 48 minutes. But it's just a bump in the road, and the Warriors are fine. And I commend you guys for dealing with this emotion today. I'm glad you got me in early.
Christian,
thank you, Christian.
I almost hung up on Christian halfway through because there is no room in sports radio for that kind of level-headedness.
No, too sensible.
So, yeah, Christian.
You're banned.
Get the hell out of here. Don't you ever call this show again.
No, rational takes after a devastating loss. There's no place for that here. You either need to fire Kerr or you need to cut Steph Curry, bench Pods, or you know what? Why didn't Kuminga get more minutes? He looked fresh and ready.
Don't even put that in people's heads.
I just did it.
No,
888-957-9570.
I'm sorry. I'm here.
Yeah. Steve, did we lose you?
Yeah.
I mean, what else can we do?
If Quentin were
healthy, .. And you know what? The Pods, all you Pods lovers, the bubble done burst. He came crashing back to Earth like one of those asteroid meteorite things. Grandy? Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Pods, shooting star, meteorite.
You mentioned Post. I do think his absence was felt like big time last night. So many people just focus on the defensive end and how bad it was, especially when Steph wasn't on the floor. But Post, offensively, makes that unit work. And when you are getting good looks and you're scoring on offense, your defense is in like 10 times a better situation. I honestly think Post's absence was felt big time on defense.
Well,
not because he plays great defense, but because of what he does on offense.
This is an interesting take. They just needed to hit a few more threes. That's really all they needed to do.
Oh, you think?
Sometimes, I've said this to you before, I hate that the NBA has come to this because it makes analysis stupid. It really does. Like, how lazy and easy is it to just, some make or miss thing, ball didn't go in, see you tomorrow. But, like, sorry, that's the way y'all play now.
That's the way they play, for sure.
That's the way you play.
Yep.
So, like, we can do this all you want. Well, Steve Kerr, and he put the wrong people in, that moron. I don't even know why they still employ him. Like, we can do this all day long. Bad leadership, fatigue. Steve Kerr is a moron, apparently. Hall of Fame players now suck. I told you Pods was no good. JK, let him out of jail. All of it. I guess in the minds of some, there's some truth to some of these things, and that's fine. But the lazy yet accurate analysis of most NBA games that involve good teams, just good teams, is that, dude, if your third, fourth, and fifth best players will just hit some threes, you're going to win. And if they don't, you're going to lose, or you're at least vulnerable to losing, because last night the Warriors were actually, they were a breath away from winning anyway.
Right.
They were a breath away from winning anyway. But look, Minnesota will take the court in 3 hours. And I know this kind of stuff flies over our heads because we're not emotional about what's going on in other cities. Minnesota, what would you say today if the Warriors did what they did 48 hours ago?
Giving up a 20-point lead.
They were up by 24 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And stopped playing basketball. Milwaukee went on a 34-3 run. I watched the whole thing.
Wow.
They put it on the internet in a condensed way where you could just watch all 34 points.
I love it.
In a condensed way.
I love that internet.
It was insane. It was insane. It was all over social media. I'm like, this is incredible. Minnesota just came down. I mean, all five of them were Mitch Wishnowsky. They just punted the ball on every possession. Here, you dunk it. You dunk it. You hit a three. You hit a three. Milwaukee got going downhill, and they blew it. They blew it. What would you say if the Warriors did that? But Minnesota, another 46-50 win team, that's what they did with their fourth quarter two nights ago. So,
but what did the Warriors do with their fourth quarter last night?
Yeah, they blew it.
They allowed San Antonio to score almost every possession.
A hell of a lot less of a blown lead, though, than what Minnesota did.
Right, and if they had just equally had, alarming because of the magnitude of the spot.
I guess, yeah, it's the worst loss of the year. But if DiVincenzo were to just hit 1-3, just hey, fourth best player, will you just hit one shot? How many times did Pods or Moody pull up last night where you're like, dude, give me this one. Just give me this one. I don't need another 4-for-6 night. Can you give me one? Clank. Clank every single fourth quarter shot other than Jimmy's 1-3.
They were 1-for-10.
And it was Jimmy.
As a team.
Yes.
Correct. And they were 5-of-21 from the floor.
You hit one of them, you win.
They were 13-of-18 and 7-of-10. So, yeah, not only were you bad offensively, but in the biggest of moments, you turned the ball over. And I mentioned this before, Draymond Green falling out of bounds after saving Steph's bacon, and he gives it up. And Draymond runs down, and it's just a simple pump fake. Draymond with a flyby, DPOY, not a proper closeout, and you give up an open corner three, bang, Spurs have the lead. So it was more than just the role players not coming through, and they didn't. And I'm looking at the box, Moody 0-for-3, Pods 0-for-3, Kuminga 0-for-3. So your next three, outside of the big three, we're all 0-for-3. 0-for-9.
Zippos.
No points, no points, no points. Buddy played 5 minutes and didn't take a shot. Kevon had a couple of free throws. He made them both.
Made them both, yeah.
And I was like, all right, Kevon.
Yeah.
Do you. Outside of that, the chef was 3-of-6, didn't make a three. Draymond had 2 points, clutch free throws. Jimmy Butler was your whole offense from the foul line. Right. So it was a collective failure offensively in that fourth quarter.